Joshua, the 24th chapter. Before we get started there, though, I do want to say I haven't been getting as much sleep as I'd like in general, and the other night especially so. Did you guys wake up in those storms? You know, we live in a place and a time where you feel like you got a lot of control over everything. I mean, we can control our thermostats remotely at home just the way we like it, and we can kind of prevent a lot of diseases by getting vaccines years before we'd ever contract them, and we control a lot of things. And when you experience a storm like that, it's kind of nice because it reminds you of your place in this big world. You lay there and the kids are scared and you're a little scared and you're thinking, you know, the power's flashing and going out, and you realize kind of how small and frail you are. It's good for us to be reminded of those things sometimes. It's good for us to come together and think about God and think about eternity, not because we don't have a reason to live, not because life isn't good or you don't have joys, but it's good for us to have perspective, because then it helps me act in the way I ought to. And I'm grateful to God for the days that we've been given and the time we can study together this morning. And my goal for you this morning is to maybe not ramble as much as I think I might, but I got a lesson I want to talk to you about. It may seem a little different, but I want you to focus with me for a minute on some Bible trivia. So I've got up here two Bible characters, and I want you to see if you can guess who is who. All right, one of them is a murderer. And that kind of limits a lot of people, but if you think about it in the Bible, there's a lot of murderers. One of them is a martyr. Now, that kind of limits it too, right? One of them was an unbeliever, and one of them was a believer. Okay, well, maybe those go together. One of them was a blasphemer. The other one was an evangelist. One of them was someone that persecuted people. One of them was someone that sought to protect them and see their benefit. One of them was a prosecutor. And one of them was a prisoner. Those are very different people. When you look at those things, I mean, who could they be? Well, what if I told you that it really wasn't two people at all, but it was actually the same person? Now, he was so different that we called him by a different name. The first one, you might remember, is Saul of Tarsus, a guy that was a persecutor of Christians. He was an antagonist against Jesus Christ in the way. I mean, he would go so far as to drag men and women out of their homes, separate families, prosecute them in the courts, see to their death. And the first Christian that we have record of being killed for the name of Jesus, Stephen, Saul was there off to the side approving of the action itself. And yet, the same person also later in his life was quite the opposite. I mean, instead of a murderer for the name of against the name of Jesus, he was willing to lay down his life and pour himself out as a drink offering. I mean, instead of prosecuting Christians, he was actually going out and teaching people. I mean, instead of blaspheming against the name of Jesus, he was upholding and turning the world upside down by spreading the gospel. Now, why do I make that comparison for you? Well, the question I want you to ask yourselves this morning is, which one are you? Which one are you? And I ask you that question not because you really have to be one or the other, but you really are one or the other. But I want you to reflect this morning on this one aspect of what I want to cover with you, is that God has given us a great opportunity. In this life that you have, and the great blessing that it is, God has given you the ability and really the opportunity to write the script of your starring role in this thing called life. And you have the ability to choose exactly who you're going to be in the story and exactly what's going to happen. Now, we're not always afforded that, are we? I mean, for many of us, we're kind of just playing the hand that we're dealt. I mean, you might want to be a big star, but, you know, you're just not real athletic. You're never going to be.
You might wish that you could be a singer on the radio, but you know, you can't carry a tune at all. You might say to yourself, you wish you could be, you know, rich and have everything in the world, but you know, that's just not the way it worked for you. But there are some aspects of our life that you have complete control over. And God has given you that great opportunity to decide what kind of life you're going to lead. I ask you to turn to Joshua chapter 24, because this same kind of choice Joshua gave to the people as they were embarking in the rest of their days in the promised land. He said in verse 14 of Joshua 24, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. If it's disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, and choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Now, you really have a choice. And I don't want to spend the lesson dissecting the concept of your free will, but I will assure you of this, that God is going to hold you accountable for the ability he's given each one of us to choose the type people that we're going to become. Now, there are a lot of influences that influence you and I. It isn't simply that morality is something that you wake up and you say, well, I'm not drawn to this or I'm not drawn to this. I'll just pick one or the other. No, there are a lot of factors that go into why I choose what I want to choose. That there are forces at work behind the scenes that you and I can't see with our eyes, but yet have been revealed to us through the Word of God. You've seen that kind of demonstrated on caricatures on TV, where you got like one little angel talking in your ear, and you got one demon on the other side, and he's whispering bad things to you. And while those kind of things aren't really there, yet those influences are present in this world. And the influences of Satan and his angels and the wicked forces of darkness and those sorts of things, I mean, they are very real. And they're pulling against you. And he wants you to be like him and to follow him and to do those things. And then you have God, who, of course, over all, has given you the same opportunity. And through his grace and kindness, has shown you who he is through this great creation. And everything you love and everything that's good comes from God. And God is promising to give you more of that and better of that and eliminate all the evil if you'll follow him. But it's ultimately up to you to decide who this day you will serve and really what kind of person you're going to be. Now, you might say to yourself, well, I mean, I don't really want to follow anybody. I don't want to serve Satan, and I don't want to serve God. I just want to serve myself. And I'm going to tell you that you can't eliminate those two choices. They really are the only two choices. You might not want to serve anybody, but notice what Paul says in Romans 6:15. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness? He goes on, if we turn to Romans 6 and we read, and he's contrasting you being slaves to God or slaves to sin and the result of those things. And you might say to yourself, well, slavery's bad. We're not enslaved. Slavery ended a 100 years ago or more. I mean, I'm not enslaved to anybody. And it might remind you of that passage in John chapter 8, and we'll look at that, where Jesus is saying, that they're slaves, the Jews. And they had said, we've never been enslaved to anyone. You know, and they would, and we might say the same thing. I've never been enslaved to anyone. And yet this morning, you have submitted yourself, one way or the other, to serve someone and to be a slave to them. I'll just give you a couple examples. Look, we had the youth forum this weekend, where young people got together and the subject was materialism. And we talked about, and the guys did a great job. I mean, I don't want to sound like Donald Trump, but it was phenomenal. I mean, Nathan did good. Drew did good. Todd did good. Talking about money and the way we spend it, you know, what being a materialist looks like and how it's different from how a Christian should be. And Drew talking about hobbies and how those can turn idolatrous and turn into gods that we worship. And just such a great eye-opening thing, hopefully, for younger people to realize that this world that we're a part of, you're actually a slave and a servant to it. One of the things that we talked about were video games. And how today, I mean, they're just so designed to be so immersive that they just want you to continue to do it every day, all day. And why are they wanting to do that? Are they wanting to do that because they think, you know what, this really is the most fun game that anyone's ever had, and I just want to make it so that everybody spends time in here. Do you know what video game makers make video games for? Money. They don't care about you having fun. Only so much so that you could, you know, turn a profit for them. They care that you're logged on and how much you're logged on, and they care that you see advertisements. I mean, isn't that funny? I mean, you really are a slave to them, and they're making it so difficult that every day you got to do this, play this 10 times, and you'll get 10 gems, and then you can go buy 10 things with it. And you do it again tomorrow. And they want you doing that every day. Why? Because they want your money. Now, you think about drugs. You think about tobacco, and you think about what the new thing everybody do, everybody vapes all the time or whatever. Did somebody wake up one morning and say, you know what kids need? You really are missing out on some good chemicals that they can inhale in their lungs. Well, let's make something for kids that are really going to help them. Nobody did that. You know what somebody did? They're sitting there thinking about how much money they can make off your stupidity. And that regardless of whether something is bad for you or harmful for you, that they're confident enough that their product is addictive enough that you'll give what little money you got and do whatever it is, even though it's to your harm and detriment, so they can make money. Don't tell me you're not a slave to anybody. We're a slave to fashion. We're a slave to materialism. What about the shirt that was on sale last year that you bought? Is that not good enough anymore? We got to make another one? I love car makers too. Like this year's car is like the all-new awesomest car. You know what they're already doing? They're already planning new improvements they could have put in this year's model in next one. Because if they just expended every idea they had in this year's model, they wouldn't sell anything next year. Guys, we live in a world where people are trying to take advantage of you. And you say to yourself, no, I'm free to live my life and make my own decisions. Look, we're a slave to whoever we obey. And when I get up and open my wallet and buy something, I'm a slave to that person. And when I feel compelled to get up and go purchase something because my body is chemically addicted to it, I'm a slave to them. And God is trying to free us from a lot of these things. But not free us in the sense that we're going to be free to go off and make whatever bad decisions. You are going to be a slave to something. You are going to be someone, and you've got to decide who that person is going to be. You think about in Luke chapter 16 and verse 13, Jesus made this great statement, and I want to echo it and say it again. No servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. And this is the trick that Christians will find themselves in, is they're like, no, I can do both. I can be both a servant of God and live as close to being a servant of myself as I can. And I'm just going to assure you that that cannot be. You can't serve two things any more than you can drive in two different directions. You can't go both here and there. You can't love both me and someone else, right? You're going to eventually have to choose. And that's why you end up seeing those things flame out when people like have love triangles and love affairs and somebody gets mad and blows both the other two people up. Why is that? Because you can only really be devoted to one thing. And that's what God says. You're either going to love me or you're going to love somebody else. So you got to decide, what kind of person do I want to be? And in our time this morning, I want to look at four things that really you're going to have to choose how you want to be known and who you want to be. And these are just random examples from the Bible, and we could look at 1,000 of them. But I want you to really seriously think about this, because there really is only one point to this lesson, is that God has given you the great choice as to how this script of your life is going to be written. And you're given the opportunity. And you can say, this is the kind of person I'm going to be. I'm going to be the kind of person that was on the right side of that chart, The kind of person that when I look back at my life, people are going to say, that guy was a peacemaker. That guy was kind. That guy was generous. That guy loved God and he loved people. I'm going to be that kind of person. Or you're going to have a life where you're going to look at the other side of it and you're going to say, you know what? That person was self-centered and dishonest. The person was hypocritical and evil. That's the kind of person they are. And I'm going to say many of you are choosing to walk that very path today. But it's up to you. Which one are you going to be? Number one, you can either be an encouragement or you can be a discouragement. I'll just give an example of this. And I think this is a powerful point back in the Old Testament in Numbers chapter 13. You know the story of Numbers 13 where God has given them almost, I mean, right in the land of Canaan, and God said, you know, I want you to send spies into the land to just take a look and see this great land that I'm going to give you. And you remember what happened. They go in this land, and well, some mixed reviews. It said in verse 30, let's start in verse 27. Initially, they come and they give this report to Moses and the people, and they said, we went into the land where you sent us, and it certainly does flow with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who live in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large, and moreover, we saw the descendants of the Anak there. Amalek is living in the land of the Negev, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites are living in the hill country, and the Canaanites are living by the sea and by the side of the Jordan. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, we should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we will surely overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said that we're not able to go up against the people, for they are too strong for us. So they gave out to the sons of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone and spying it out is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great size. There also we saw the Nephilim. The sons of the Anak are part of the Nephilim. And we became like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight. Which person are you going to be? Look, in the same situation, they saw the same thing. They didn't go into one part of the land of Canaan and Caleb and Joshua went in some other part. They literally saw the same thing, but they had two different approaches to it. They had two different approaches to life. And you've got to decide, given your outlook on things, the kind of person that you're going to be. Because I can't make you be one or the other. You're either going to be somebody that isn't afraid of a challenge, or you're going to be somebody that, you know what? I think there's just going to be a bunch of problems. I think this is just not going to work out. You know, God calls us to be such a great encouragement and to build people up and to lift people up and to be somebody that is there to help and tell people, yes, you can get through life and you can handle these problems. But there's some people that just crumble every time there's a situation. They always think about the bad things, or this is going to be a problem, or we're not going to be able to do this. And you see the outcome of it. I mean, if you look back at Numbers, read verse 1 of chapter 14. Then all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried. And the people wept that night. What an impact we as individuals have on the outlook and lives of others. I mean, I literally could take you and make you leave here today and feel like, man, we can do this. Life is good. Or I can be such a drain and a downer and a depressive person that you can leave and feel like, man, I'm not going to be able to overcome anything. I mean, what a reality that we can choose to do. I can be somebody that lifts somebody up, or I can be somebody that tears somebody else down. And neither of those two things have happened yet. You know, they're here and they're just talking about how we perceive the future is going to go. When we go in to take the land, this is how it's going to go. And when we go in to take the land, this is how it's going to go. Now, which one is right? Well, of course, if you have faith in God, you know what the outcome is going to be. But you see, we're just presenting people two options. And I'm going to tell you, with God's help, we can accomplish anything. But with your help and your discouragement, well, you can ruin the lives of countless people. You can either be somebody that believes you can do something, or you're going to be somebody that believes you just can't do it. And I'm going to tell you, the church is not filled with people that have just decided when they wake up in the morning they're going to be an encouragement. How many people have looked at the church and the people in it and said, you know what, there's going to be problems. I'm afraid of what's going to happen. And I look to the future and I'm just not sure it's going to work out. Let me tell you, that's a spirit of weakness and fear that isn't from God. God tells us that with Him, we can overcome any problem and any challenge and any obstacle. And we can see that borne out in the lives of people, and that we can stand up with a strong faith and resist the devil, and he'll flee from us. And we can, armed with the Scripture, do the right thing and see the outcome of those who follow righteousness. But there are people in the church, again, that just, they don't know how to handle problems, they can't work through problems, and they're just a discouragement to everybody else. Is that you? It is something that you can choose to be. All right, and go back and every day if you think, well, I don't know, I think this is just the reality. Well, go back and read Numbers 13. They thought that was the reality too. And let me tell you, you know the outcome of this story. Everybody else died in the wilderness except for two people. Guess who? The two that were encouragers. The two that tried to stop that. The two that said, don't cry, we can go get this done. Those are the two that are going to be there. I'm going to tell you, those kind of people are going to be the ones that are in heaven. Secondly, this morning, you know, which kind of person are you? Are you somebody that from a character standpoint is a person of integrity? Or are you somebody that has chosen to be a hypocrite? Jesus warned against hypocrisy in Luke chapter 12. He called it the leaven of the Pharisees. You know, people that outwardly appear to be religious, but inwardly, well, not so much. He said, in Luke chapter 12, under these circumstances, after so many thousands of people had gathered together, that they were stepping on one another, he, speaking of Jesus, began saying to his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. But there is nothing covered up that will not be revealed, and hidden which will not be known. Accordingly, what you have said in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have whispered in the inner rooms will be proclaimed among the housetops. The Proverbs and other passages talk a lot about the outcome of people of integrity. And what I mean by integrity is someone that is true. And when I say true, I mean someone that you can rely on, that when you see them and you touch them, that this is the real thing. There's some soundness to them. They're not hollow or a shell of something else. That they're legitimate in their character. He said in verse 9 of Proverbs 10, he who walks in integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his ways will be found out. So, which person are you? Are you someone that's going to stay consistent with the values that they profess? Or are you someone that acts a certain way in public, but in private, you're just a totally different person? Again, I know it's like the cancer of younger people, especially people that are raised in a Christian home. On the one hand, you got this great pull of being like your parents expect you to be and the church expects you to be. And so you go to church and you go to Bible study and you pretend to be a Christian. And yet, then when you're around worldly people, well, you just kind of take on this chameleon type thing where, you know, I'm really a worldly person and this is just who I'm going to be and I like all these sorts of things. Let me tell you how enjoyable that kind of life is. It's not fun. You got to stay in character all the time. You can't ever be yourself. You're an actor. And so you're always acting differently around everybody. And one slip up, well, and you got a problem on your hands. Just like he said, he who perverts his ways, like that's the opposite of integrity, is going to be found out. Jesus warned them against hypocrisy. Why? Because there's going to be a day in which, well, everything that's hidden is going to be revealed. Now, if you've ever tried to live the life of a hypocrite, then you know that that's the truth. I mean, there's something that happens invariably, and then, you know, the gig is up. Everybody knows. And we see it all the time in the news from politicians and people that espouse one thing, and yet in their lives, behind closed doors, it seems that they're totally the opposite. You know, when you think about the integrity and the person of integrity, this is so great. I mean, when you're righteous, you're not afraid of anything. You're not afraid of people picking up your phone and looking at who you've been talking to. You're not afraid of anybody stopping by the house and seeing what's going on. You're not afraid of anything because you're a person of integrity. You're going to be the same tomorrow that you are today that you're going to be next week. And you can just live your life and enjoy without fear. But man, a hypocrite, that they're running and they're hiding. And they're not consistent at all with who they are. And so they're constantly having to hide from everybody what's really going on. And they don't want worldly people to know they pretend to be a Christian. They don't want Christians to know they're a worldly person in another part of their life. And yet, what have you accomplished in hypocrisy? On the one hand, as a person of integrity, you have this great outward appearance of respect and honor. I mean, a great name is to be cherished far above rubies and those sorts of things. I mean, to have the respect of your friends and your peers is a great thing. But when you're a hypocrite, you know what you lose? You lose the respect and the good name that only a person of integrity is going to have. And then you're just, your name is tarnished and trashed. When you choose to be a hypocrite, then what you really choose to do is just play a game for a short period of time that you're going to lose eventually. And you're either going to lose it in this life to the disdain of everyone else, or you might actually squeak through in this life if you're a super good actor, only to be found out in the next, in which God, the great judge, is going to show everybody everything. And so that name that you thought you died with, that everybody grieved over, well, that's not going to carry you into the next life. Third, I mean, which one are you deciding to be? You know, thinking about the young people study this weekend, I mean, are you somebody after that is going to decide to be content with what you have in this life? Or are you going to go through life just being totally covetous? You're going to go through life saying, you know, I really want to be a worldly person. You know, Paul said in Philippians chapter 4 that he learned in whatever state he was in to be content. Whatever state he found himself in, he was going to be content. And you know, that was a good thing for him because he was in a situation that not many of us would have found ourselves content in. He gave up what would have been a very lucrative role as a Pharisee from a financial standpoint. I mean, they were well-to-do in Jewish culture. When you think about the Pharisees, obviously there was great accolades associated with that. Opportunity, prestige, power. I mean, again, Paul was getting people to write him these things. He could go into people's houses and do whatever he wanted to. I mean, he was in a position of great authority. And yet he gave all that up for the surpassing riches of knowing Jesus. He gave all that up. And his life went from, oh, just a very comfortable living, to I'm running from my life from town to town. I'm shipwrecked, I'm beaten, I'm left for dead, and eventually he's going to give his life up for God. I mean, who would want to do that? Well, only someone that has found themselves being content. And the warning, of course, Jesus has about the covetous, I think everybody's aware. So again, are you happy with what you have? I mean, a content person is happy with what they have. Are you somebody that, as it relates to this life, your dreams and your goals are solely worldly focused? I mean, when you leave here, you can't wait to get home because you're going to go do X, Y, or Z. Or you're going to, you know, your dreams are all about this world. Or is this your dream? I mean, is this what you're living for? I mean, the people of God and Christianity and people of faith, I mean, is this it? Or is church just like a blip on your radar and you get over this and then we go back to get really living and doing what my life really consists of? Are you somebody that finds yourself being more generous than you are greedy and selfish? Have you finally arrived at the point where I'm going to be a giver? Like Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than receive. Or are you someone that's really concerned about yourself? And if someone borrows something from you and they don't give it back, well, that's just going to be the end of that life and end of that relationship. Are you somebody who is just wholly devoted to the next life? And that's where your heart is and your treasure is. You've laid up in heaven. And that's where your mindset is, where your citizenship is in heaven. Or, especially as a younger person, I mean, are you just loving and worshiping the things of this world? Where you're just enamored with the celebrities and the music, the lifestyle, and those sorts of things. And that's who I want to be. I want to be a very worldly person. You get to choose. You get to pick exactly who you're going to be. And God gives us that great opportunity to really ultimately, as we conclude in point number 4, I mean, are you choosing to be a child of God or a child of the devil? It really is one or the other. I mean, what a great thing that God has given us the opportunity to be called sons of God. Now just let that sink in for a minute. It isn't that you and I know God, we know of God, or I've heard a little bit about God and we might get to see God from a distance. You can actually be a son of God. He said in verse 14 of Romans 8, "For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God." I mean, you are somebody that can choose to be, if you want to, adopted into the family of God. Isn't that a great thing? Think about it in this life. How many people would choose to be the son of LeBron James? Wouldn't it be cool if you could just like sign a form and be like, yeah, well, I'm going to go live in his house, and I'm going to go share in his wealth, and when he dies, he's going to leave me all this stuff. It would be amazing, wouldn't it? Bill Gates, for some of you older people, hey, it's like, yeah, that guy, man. Remember when he made Windows 95? It was like, awesome. I remember typing on DOS. Yeah, it's not fun. Why are we even on a computer? Well, then you get Minesweeper, and your world changes. You think about life, and you think, man, can I just adopt myself into his family? No. You can't do that. You're lucky to ever meet the person. But for God, God says, you know what? You can walk right in and be a child of mine. You can be a member of my family. What a wonderful blessing. But the converse is true. Just as easy as it is to follow God and be a child of his, it's just as easy to follow the devil and be a child of his. Who in here would say that they're a child of the devil? Nobody. We're in church. Who would ever say that? And yet Jesus had the striking conversation with the Jews that we referenced earlier from John chapter 8, where Jesus said, why do you not understand what I'm saying? It's because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. Wherever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. No one would ever think of themselves as a child of the devil, but Jesus sees very clear the distinction between the children of God and the children of Satan. He said the children of God are going to do the will of his Father. If you love me, you're going to keep my commandments, Jesus said. And if you follow the Spirit of God, you're going to be a son of God. But what's the converse of that? Well, if you follow the will of the devil, then guess what that makes you? Oh, well, that's a little harsh, isn't it? Well, the truth hurts sometimes. But if you're someone who is a liar, dishonest, hateful, selfish, you're not following the will of God. You're following the will of your father, the devil. You're a child of Satan. And a child of God is, they've taken steps to put all that stuff away. They've put to death their former way of life. Now you might say, well, was Paul a child of the devil at one point? Absolutely. He was doing exactly what Satan wanted, to put Jesus to death and stamp out every record of Christianity that he could find. But Paul said, no, I'm going to quit that. I'm going to make a decision to stop that way of life, and I'm going to walk a new path. And he put that away. He put to death this former way of life. But a child of the devil, you know what they do? They embrace their desires. Every chance they get, every day they can, they're going to do exactly what they want to do, which sadly is just the desire of their fathers. We talk about being a slave. You're just a slave to Satan. Satan's like, ah, do this. And you're like, yes, I want to do that. And you think you're doing what you want to do, but you're just following those same old footsteps of the devil whose sole goal is to get you antagonistic toward God. That's all he wants, to half believe a lie that you won't die for any of this. And yet time and time again, mankind have fallen into the same trap, embracing their desires and ending up lost. You know, ultimately, a child of God is going to be saved and rewarded. But a child of the devil, they're going to be condemned and they're going to be punished. Why not talk about any of this today? I mean, what was the point of this lesson? The point of the lesson is for you to choose this day who you will serve. And God has given you that choice to write your own script for your life of who you're going to be. And you're going to decide today, well, I'm going to be a righteous person. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to do right. And I'm going to start doing that today. Or you're going to be somebody that's going to leave here and you're going to say, no, I'm content to do wrong and I'm happy with the choices I've made. And just know that you're of your father, the devil, and God's prepared a special place for him. Yeah, so here's the invitation. If you want to go there, that's good, because you can. You're on your way to hell, and you're headed right there. And God's made all arrangements necessary for you to get there. Just keep doing what you're doing. And many of you will leave here and you're going to do the same thing that you've done, which is either live a hypocritical life or just live totally for yourself. And you're going to continue to follow that same path and you're going to be with the devil. Now, not in a way that's going to be enjoyable. And you're going to have friendship or partnership. You're going to experience the same punishment in your own cell that the devil's in. And he's going to be punished as well. But God doesn't want that. And I don't want that. So why do you want it? Who would leave here today and say, yep, that's the story I want to write for myself? Don't do that. That's the dumbest thing you could do. Accept God and Jesus and follow Him. And if you're led by the Spirit of God, you can be the sons of God. And I invite you to do that through God's